I feel so grateful to have become in recent years more in alignment with the sixth source of our living religious tradition. Of those many sources we draw from, the sixth is spiritual teachings of earth-centered traditions, which celebrate the sacred circle of life and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. To that source, I connect two others: humanist teachings that appreciate science, and the first source, direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. I'm reminded to live not just indoors, in my head or on my computer, but to be embodied, to pay attention to the physical environment of the natural world, the smells, all of the various elements, the warmth or chill on my shoulders, the growing food, and the activities inspired by these seasonal shifts. These are the foundations of our faith. We arrive now at one of these beautiful times of turning, our autumn equinox, in which the pagan acknowledgement is Mabon, which, with its accompanying activity of reflection on gratitude. For those of Jewish heritage and practice, the high holy days are upon us. On this Jewish New Year and Day of Atonement, the corresponding task includes deep personal work, and spiritual effort is at hand. As both Sheryl Crow and a wise rabbi said, every day is a winding road. Not only winding, but very congested, filled with potholes and some not so safe drivers. Confronted by all of that, we lose sight of our big moral and spiritual hopes and aspirations. It's so easy to imagine that the other drivers are the ones with all the problems, the ones who are distracted, right, when we look in someone else's car, who have made an improper turn or cut me off. It's so easy to notice the speck in my brother's eye, but not notice my own log. And we know this, right? Right? You know this. I'm thinking, no. You know this. But even so, human nature is such that we forget it really easy and really easily. It's easier for me to look and see the person on their texting in their car than it is to notice that I haven't put my phone down and in the back seat. And so we have ritual and tradition that help us remember the task, to remind us the work that is upon us. In Jewish tradition, these particular days, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah, the days of awe, and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, or at-one-ment, as the breakout of that word helps more carefully describe the relational notion, these days are significant. They are called high holy days because they give individuals and a community an opportunity for three essential processes. The first one is Heshbon Hanefesh, literally taking stock of one's soul. The second one is shuva, usually translated as repentance, but simply translated as returning to oneself. And finally, tikkun, or repair. Today, we are invited to participate. If you received a little piece of paper, did you receive a little piece of paper when you came in? To participate. If you didn't, someone might hand you one, so raise your hand just a little bit and someone will give you one. Those little pieces of paper are going to help us participate in the Tosh Leek ceremony, the casting off of sins and disappointment. Somebody already told me that their paper was too small. So you write in that old-fashioned secretary language, what, I forgot what that's called. Short, oh, that easy of a word, huh? You write in shorthand or your own little personal code, whatever it is. Maybe you just put a letter for each thing, if you've got that many. But traditionally, what this ceremony is, yeah, I can tell some people probably need two, right? But just imagine that it would all fit there. Traditionally, this ceremony is where bread is torn off, and people gather at the river, and the bread is torn off and dropped into the water with not anything written on it, and it's dropped off into the flowing river that takes it away. So here, that can mean that the little piece of paper that you hold can represent any number of things that seem to be troubling you. And if you don't like the word sin, then imagine it as a resentment that's been clinging to you like so much sticky peanut butter. Maybe it's even a name where you've been struggling with a certain individual and you want a fresh, clean start. Or you may consider this an opportunity to cast away all of the ways that you didn't do as well as you had hoped or that you know you can do. Someone wondered if this is considered spiritual house cleaning. This holy work is internal work, deeply personal work. Yet it is also the work of the world, the steps that we take toward creating a larger peace. Just this last week in worship in here, we considered Jim Crow. The customs, the laws, complacency, the turning away that existed in the late 20th century that may have morphed into a larger systemic wrongs in this now our 21st century. Today we'll be able to buy the book that we talked about last week, right? Do we have them to? Yes. So right afterwards we can buy the book that we talked about and we'll be able to do some of that tikkun together, the community repair. But if we're going to venture into the unknown to do this work together, we've got to first be willing to be a bit vulnerable with ourselves, open ourselves up, clean ourselves out, look at the hard parts of our own hearts, and be willing. I've loved learning about the work of Brené Brown. Brown is an author and educator who speaks about vulnerability. She's given these widely popular TED Talks, you know about the TED Talks, and on one of her TED Talk on vulnerability, over 5 million people have listened to that. And she's written books that focus on courage, on shame, and on vulnerability. Her answer, she suggests, is daring greatly. And that's personal work. It's personal, but it's relational too. Like our task here, to be in covenant with one another, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another, to walk together. Not always as easy as it seems on face value. We can say that. It seems, oh, those are easy tasks. But they're not always so easy, especially when we have the many differences that we say that we value. Well, Brown has created what she calls an engaged feedback checklist that sounds to me like many of the covenants that we create together. But it helps with some of the specifics, the how-tos. It includes agreements like, I'll give you a couple examples. She starts with, I'm willing to sit next to you rather than across from you. Another one begins, I'm ready to listen. I recognize your strengths. I'm willing to own my part. And this last one, I can model the vulnerability and openness that I expect to see from you. I want to give you a moment to imagine where you might find this helpful. Maybe think about your paper too. Where are the places or moments that you've not availed yourself of the opportunity to be vulnerable? I will say, even when thinking of my own, that I don't have to look very far. It's the closest to home, the closest to me is where I find it. Brené Brown believes that vulnerability is our most accurate measurement of courage. In order to let connection happen, we have to let ourselves be seen. Really seen, she says. Even here in this caring community, where we say we love each other, where we have made these covenants with each other, still we sometimes struggle. We struggle to be seen or to know one another, to be willing to be vulnerable. This congregation, as an example, because it's really a snapshot of the rest of our lives. In fact, the other places may have even more difficulties when our co-workers may not share our values or our extended families have hurts that have accumulated over time. These are theological principles at work here in this willingness to show up, even to be willing to sit with some discomfort, like, I don't know how to do this, or I'm not sure I understand what I'm supposed to do. The stuff I have to deal with is way too hard. I don't even know where to start. That's the discomfort. I may not be able to read your mind. There are likely more discomforts than I have named. But if something has come into your mind and heart, something that you're thinking that might be the thing, it's very likely that you're on track. I can't imagine you would be off track on any way you choose to look. So what do we get? Why engage in the ritual? Why engage in the seasonal religious consideration of the Shuva? The gifts we receive are many. Redemption. We are saved. We are saved. Saved from pain. Saved from the fear of our own flaws, from living in a complex world. Here we are saved. Reconciliation. We are restored to wholeness from brokenness, reconnected to others, forgiving of our own mistakes and of others. Forgiveness. We can actively do this act through prayer, through time, through revelation, through conversation. We begin again in love, renewal. The repeating of the task, again, year after year. All of these things. I have not read the book 50 Shades of Grey. Sorry. That wasn't about my paper. The closest I got, I figured I ought to know what it was about, right? So I watched Ellen DeGeneres recite from its pages on a YouTube video. Well, because she didn't know who would be in the room, she substituted words and phrases and sound effects. She created sound effects, like one of those little paddles with the ball on the end of it. She used the paddle with the ball. Okay. Now forget the book, okay? I know, all you can think of is an elephant, right? Okay, you don't even need to. 50 Shades of Grey, if you don't know anything about it, it's about, if we consider the world in black and white, people or institutions, all good or all bad, rather than to consider perspective or nuances in humanity or creation, in other words, to recognize the inherent worth and dignity of people, we are human, even the ones who have done us wrong. Even each of us in this fabulous community of faith, we are 50 shades of gray and inherently worthy of love, of God's love, and of trying again. The idea of atonement or at-one-ment is relational with other humans and, for those who believe, with God. The task of these high holy days puts us in relationship at one. The tikkun of meeting together to talk about the difficult book, the New Jim Crow is the book I'm talking about. That's the difficult book that we're going to talk about. It's a form of healing to do that, to be willing to read a book. One of my colleagues in upstate New York now, I believe, somebody wrote on the Facebook and he said, "I'm starting this book. It feels very difficult." It's a form of healing. He's an African-American minister. Even when we fear our truth may not be popular, to sit with each other and be authentic, to risk vulnerability, is the way that we can do this practice honestly. The question that's often asked, how can I be more spiritual? And the wise ones suggest simply to pray more. Spend more time on the practices that get you to this place. Every day, not just during the high holy days or other religious days. The rabbi I had mentioned earlier says that he tries to do more this season. But he says he basically does what he does all the time. He tries to do the right thing, and he reflects on it. He lingers maybe, though, a minute longer in the carpool line as he drops off his kids at school. And he gives the benefit of the doubt to people in his circles. We, too, might spend a few more seconds holding the door as we walk out or waiting for the answer to, "How are you?" We also might finally make that phone call. The poet's words beg us. They beg us, speak out of the paralyzing secret. Speak out and begin to come back to yourself. Cry it out to compassionate ears and be held in the hearts of your witnesses. The truth shall make you free, but first it will shatter you. What was broken can be mended. What was lost, restored. Find yourself then, pure and whole, a child of God. Look back long enough to let go. So today, drop the bits of bread or paper as we have it, maybe after you've torn it in half, and drop it into the water. Watch it fall away. Come again. Begin again in willingness, in authenticity, in vulnerability. Begin again in love. Amen. And now we invite you to come forward. We have two stations for you to bring your paper after you tear it and drop it into the flowing water. Just as fish are caught in a fisherman's net, so too we are caught in the net of judgment. Think of all you have done that you wish you'd done better. Think about what has been done to you that has caused you trouble or hurt. Think about your less than completely successful attempts to repair the world, your relationships, and your life. Put these disappointments and others and in yourself into the paper and throw them into the water. The moving water will carry them away, giving you a chance to do better, to be better, to know better. Starting right now. And if you're not absolutely perfect this coming year, remember that you get another chance to do it a year from now.